Now, let's just look at the embryonic stem cell, the ones that happen in the early embryo. This is a picture of the human reproductive tract. Okay, of course, female reproductive tract. Okay, and here's the ovary. And here's the ovary releasing an egg. And the egg, as you know, travels down the reproductive tract where it meets the sperm and is fertilized. And then the fertilized egg starts to divide. Here, two cells. Here, four cells. Here, eight cells. And then it reaches the uterus and continues differentiating. And as you see, it goes from a little bundle of cells here, right, to a much more structured appearance here. And I want to look at this form of the early embryo, which we call the blastocyst. Here it is in an electron micrograph. This is a very early blastocyst. In fact, it's a mouse blastocyst, not a human one. Okay. And you'll be able to see that there are really two structures here. Yep. There's an outer circular or spherical shell, which is surrounded by a few little cells. Okay. And here there's a blob. Okay. This blob here we call the inner cell mass, and it consists of about 30 cells. And these cells here are the cells which are going on to become the fetus and then the adult, in this case, mouse. These cells around the outside here are going to make up the placenta, and they're not going to be part of the mature mouse. So this, it's only these cells here, the inner cell mass cells, which are going to become the fetus. And we call these cells the embryonic stem cells. So these cells here, about 30 of them, are going to give rise to all the cells in the mouse's body. And if we were looking at a human blastocyst, then they would give rise to all the cells in a human body. So here we have the fertilized egg. Here we have the little ball of cells, perhaps eight cells here. And here we have the blastocyst containing its stem cells. Now, I've no doubt, well, just one more thing, okay. We can either isolate these stem cells and we can grow them in culture, or inside the body, they will gradually differentiate to give, first of all, tissue-specific stem cells. Here are the ones that give rise to the blood system, and here are the blood cells. Here are the ones which give rise to the nerves. Here's a nerve cell. Here's the ones that give rise to the muscles. Here's a picture of a bone. Okay? Right? Because the same cells give rise to bone and to muscle. Okay? Now, as we've gone through these slides, there have been one or two words I haven't explained. Now, let me explain them now. Okay, while they're on this one. There's this word, totipotent, and this word, pluripotent. Right? Now, these words come from the Latin, okay? And this bit of the word, the potent bit, means able to do things, okay? Or powerful, right? Possibly you know the word omnipotent or omnipotent, which means all-powerful. Like what the United States would like to think itself. Okay? Right? Okay. So by putting toti as another word meaning all, okay, and toti implies that these stem cells can give rise to any cell, okay? They are able to give rise to anything. Whereas this word pluri means a few, and this means these stem cells can give rise only to a few types of cells. Okay, so there's totipotency and pluripotency. Now let's bring these two subjects together. We talked about cloning, we've talked about differentiation, cells becoming different. The first experiments that were done to clone plants and animals were done with the intention of asking a question about differentiated cells. Okay, so all these different cells in your body look different. Okay? Now, when a cell develops into several other sorts of cells with different characteristics, there are two things that could have happened. One, it could have changed its genes. Okay? Or two, it could have just selected some of the genes to use and not used some of the others. How might we change the genes? Well, we might throw away all the ones we don't want. Okay? In which case, a skin cell would only contain the genes that were necessary for making skin. Okay? And a blood cell would only contain the genes that were necessary for making blood, and it would have lost all the others. The alternative is that a skin cell and a blood cell have exactly the same genes, but the skin cell is only using a proportion of them, and the blood cell is using a different proportion. Now, one way of telling whether which of these two mechanisms is the right one, which happens during differentiation, is to ask a differentiated cell whether it can give rise to an entire organism. In other words, we can send it back to being an embryo, okay, and ask whether it is totipotent, whether it is able to give rise to all the other cell types. Because in the first case, if it's lost some genes, it won't be able to. But in the second case, where it's retained all the genes, it will be able to. So if the nucleus, which is where the genes are, of a differentiated cell is placed in an embryo, we can ask the question, will it produce a normal organism? And if it produces a normal organism, then we know that this first explanation, the one about chucking away some of the genes, can't be right.